Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. For the first time, the state's Department of Transportation is in the driver's seat when it comes to navigating the legal environmental requirements that come with big transportation projects, and the Federal Highway Administration wants to know how they're doing. The Alaska Energy Desk's Rasha McChesney reports.
Alaska doesn't have a dedicated fund for state highway projects. Something like 90% of the projects in the state get federal money. And that means that when the state wants to work on a highway, build a new one, widen an old one, there's usually some kind of federal environmental review. Typically, that review falls under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. In the past, the Federal Highway Administration handled that review. But an Obama-era law gave states the option to take control of some of that process. Last year, Alaska joined six other states that have taken the feds up on that offer. There's evidence that the states that have taken over this work are saving a lot of time in the permitting process. In early September, the Federal Highway Administration put out the results of its first audit of how Alaska's Department of Transportation is handling its new responsibilities. There are a few things that could be improved, like one instance where the state should have held a public hearing and didn't. And there are questions about having enough staff and allocating the time and money they need for training. But there are other areas where federal auditors say the state is doing pretty well, like bringing in legal help early on in the process. With this new power comes new responsibility, namely legal liability. It means the state can be sued for these decisions in federal court. The state added a new attorney in the Department of Law, specifically to make sure that projects are legally defensible. The state's Department of Transportation added four other positions to cope with the new responsibilities, too. The Federal Highways Administration is taking comments on that audit until October 5th. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
The nonprofit group that runs the World Ice Art Championships in Fairbanks is suing three former event organizers. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that a complaint filed in state court this week accuses former Ice Alaska organization board presidents Hank Bartos and Dick Brickley and Brickley's wife Hua, who helped manage the event, of financial wrongdoing, including a deal that transferred ownership of a state grant fund purchased ice park venue to the Brickleys to cover money the couple invested in the property and organization. The suit seeks a minimum of $2 million, the amount of the state grant. The Brickleys and Bartos parted ways with the ice carving event, which has reorganized and hopes to hold the 2019 World Ice Art Championships at the state fairgrounds in Fairbanks. The 2018 event was not held due to a lack of a venue and insufficient funding. Community emergency response teams are forming in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Lorna Illingworth directs Fairbanks Area Citizen Corps, a federally funded program formerly known as Volunteers in Policing, which is providing disaster response training for the public.
The basic CERT course is 20 hours of training that includes classes on disaster preparedness, emergency medical operations, fire safety and fire behavior, how to use a fire extinguisher, search and rescue operations, disaster psychology, recognizing what happens to folks when they experience trauma in a disaster.
Illingworth says the training also covers terrorism, the incident command system, and integration with public safety agencies.
And then all the information that everybody learns in that class is utilized in a disaster exercise where we set up an earthquake scenario and the newly trained CERT members search a building, find victims, rescue them, triage them, treat them.
Illingworth says those who complete the course get nationally recognized certification.
The long-term idea is to have teams set up in communities, and then they've got all these people in the neighborhoods living out there already who are better equipped to help themselves, their neighbors, and then their community in the event of a big emergency or disaster.
Illingworth says members can also specialize in specific emergency response jobs,
like traffic control, manning evacuation collection points, helping with staffing of shelters, setting up and staffing animal sheltering. We're also looking to train folks to serve in the emergency operations center in the event of a big disaster, where the emergency operations center for the borough is activated.
Illingworth says she's already conducted some community emergency response team trainings in the Fairbanks area, held an organizational meeting in Esther, and hosts one tonight in Salcha. Homes built on permafrost, even those constructed using the best practices, face challenges as the thawing of frozen soil accelerates with climate change. The Alaska Energy Desk's Ravenna Koenig reports.
Ilya Benesh is a do-it-yourself kind of guy. He's worked in construction for close to 30 years, and for the past 10, he's been working on two large cabins, one to live in, one to rent, at the edge of a gully dotted with birch and black spruce trees.
Watch your step. This is temporary.
When Benesh bought this property back in 1999, he was pretty sure it had permafrost under it, though he didn't know for certain. But he wasn't intimidated by the idea of building on permafrost. As a carpenter, he'd already had some experience with it, and the reasons to buy the land were compelling. It was spacious, relatively cheap, and only a few minutes from his parents' house.
As I saw my parents aging, I saw a lot of value to being close by, and what was affordable in 1999 was north side of the hill property.
Benesh started building in 2008. And a few years in, he's taking the project slow, he decided to get the soil drilled to get a sense of exactly what the permafrost looked like under the surface. The news he got was bad. He read me the drill report.
This shallow, warm, ice-rich permafrost with massive ice formations is one of the most difficult environments on which to construct a stable foundation.
Oh my God.
Well, it's kind of neat to hear it after the fact.
Basically, Benesh's house is built on permafrost that's relatively close to the thawing point, which is common for Fairbanks. That could dramatically transform the land under his house, though he's still not exactly sure what that would look like, especially since he's on a hill.
There's not a lot of resistance to this hillside starting to slide if things thaw deep enough. I can't get a clear answer from anyone as to whether that will happen or whether the ground will just drop straight down. I don't think anybody can say.
But Benesh is perhaps one of the best people in Fairbanks to be in this position. For the past decade, he's worked as a building educator at the Cold Climate Housing Research Center. What Benesh talks to homeowners and contractors about is exactly this kind of stuff. How do you build the best house you can on permafrost that's expected to thaw? One of the big things is the foundation.
So this is a steel pipe. It's 6 inches in diameter, and it goes down about 40 feet into the permafrost.
Building on pilings is a common approach for constructing on permafrost. They anchor the house and loft it up so it doesn't warm the ground underneath. When Benesh started building, he knew that 40 feet was the typical depth for pilings, so he went with that.
What I know now is I probably should have driven to 60 feet.
He's since retrofitted two additional 60-foot pilings that will be able to support the house if the others fail. Aside from the foundation, Benesh has given a lot of thought to how to protect the ground and keep the permafrost cold. He'll have a large wraparound porch to keep the foundation shaded and a continuous gutter around the roof that empties 25 feet into the gully to prevent any erosion or water from getting in the pilings. He's also doing his best not to disturb the moss and trees around the house, which provide shade and insulation for the ground. He's even adding to them.
I've actually planted Siberian larches. There's about 22 of them right now.
If Benesh had the chance to go back to 1999 and buy a different piece of property, would he? Yeah, he says. He would. It would save him a lot of time and some sleepless nights. But he says that for anyone determined to build on permafrost themselves, he has a few suggestions. Build small, get educated on best practices, and make sure to get the drill testing done before you start. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
And I'm Dan Bross.